Hi everyone, this is John Frank, Editorial Director of PL Buyer, welcoming you to this latest PL Buyer podcast. This podcast is one in a series we're doing with Patrick Rodmel, President and CEO of Watt International, a Toronto-based integrated retail agency with more than 40 years of experience in more than 40 countries. Patrick also is a guest columnist with PL Buyer and will be co-chairing our new Best of Design Excellence Awards later this year, recognizing the best in private label package design. Today we'll be discussing Patrick's 10 keys to private brand success, the topic of the columns he's been writing for PL Buyer. Hi Patrick, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, John.
Let's begin by setting the scene for our discussion. Give us the thinking that led to your 10 keys. What can our readers and our listeners here learn from them?
Well, John, these 10 keys are really 30 years in the making. Starting back with our business in the 80s with the Loblaws group of companies working on brands like President's Choice and No Name really kind of set us up as a business interested in private brands. And since that time, we've worked with over 100 retailers, so we've seen, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and frankly, the many different approaches businesses take to effective private label development, all the way from shooting from the hip to what, you know, is commonly called analysis paralysis. So we figured it was about time to kind of take all that learning, the positive learnings and the learnings from mistakes, and kind of crystallize them into the 10 areas that we think are absolutely critical to examine to achieve private label success.
Great. That's a great mission, and one I'm sure our readers are benefiting from reading your columns about the 10 keys. Today we're focusing on key number 5, process engineering. And as the headline in our May issue where that column appears says, this is not necessarily a very sexy topic, but it is key. So tell us first, what do you mean by process engineering? How do you define that in terms of private label product design?
Sure, John. Yeah, in very simple terms, it's really about examining, planning, and measuring and fine-tuning the way you do what you do. So process engineering can actually apply to just about anything in life. It's about getting from point A to point B in the most efficient manner, allowing for proper decision-making and at the various points of variation. So, you know, how do we do it efficiently? How do we get people engaged in the process at the right time? What is the right way to move something from one point to the next to keep it going in an efficient and effective manner? So, as I say, it's not really the sexy topic for dinner parties, but it's critical to success for businesses.
And then why is it in the 10 keys?
It's kind of interesting. One of the drivers behind putting process engineering really came from a comment we got from one of our clients who was the SVP of marketing at a major drug retailer, who said to us at one time that the first time he saw a new brand or product on shelf was often going into one of his stores.
Really? Wow.
So when you think of the way that, you know, if you think of private brands as an asset for the business, a marketing asset for the business, the fact that the most senior person at the organization wouldn't even know about it until he saw it in the store struck us to really identify that process engineering is critical to success. He should have been aware that that new brand was going on shelf and had an opportunity to leverage, promote, profile it as a material asset for the business. So it was that little epiphany that kind of got us into thinking of it as a key. And frankly, it really is a competitive advantage. People that can get things to market quicker, people that can have effective decision making, you may not see it, but it's the undercurrent of success for those who get it right.
It's what makes everything look easy, even if you spend a tremendous amount of effort getting to that point, right?
Yeah, and that's exactly right, John. And it also takes a lot of commitment. You know, it's easy to draw something on a piece of paper to say, you know, this is the way that we think things should be done. But there's a definite commitment to the ongoing execution of that, which frankly is one of the barriers to success for some organizations in process engineering.
You mentioned in your column that Watt has identified 312 unique steps in product development. That's an amazing number of steps. Can you touch on some of the most important ones of those?
Sure, I'm sure that sounds pretty granular, but in fact, that is the case when you take a look at everything from, deciding on a new product to introduce within the private label portfolio, all the way to having the product ready to go to shelf. It was 312 steps.
Wow.
It's funny, there are the what we call the macro steps, and then there's the micro steps. So focusing most on when you talk about the important ones, I'm going to talk, I guess, a little more about some macro and maybe a couple of micros.
Okay.
Number one is getting company buy-in. One of the most successful private brand launches that we've been involved in, this is a number of years ago, was with Safeway on their Select brand.
Mm-hmm.
And, while I'd like to suggest that the branding and the packaging and the thought process into that was all sort of top-notch, it was really Safeway's commitment as a business to get behind the brand, rallying the troops, bringing a level of education around what the brand was standing for, doing some mystery shops to ensure that the people in the store were communicating effectively. So that early stage company buy-in and managing the momentum of the program within the organization is absolutely key.
Mm-hmm.
Vendor communication, making sure that vendors are aware of the development and are properly leveled into the mix, not seen as kind of just a piece of the puzzle, but instrumental to the process, and ensuring that they understand when they're going to be involved in the process and how they're going to be involved is critical too. And inventory management you can look at and say, making sure that you manage all of the different, the inventory pieces from a cost effective. We find legal is always an issue. When do you get legal involved to ensure that you're developing your package to the proper standings? And then on an even more micro level, it's the actual circulation of the artwork. We were able to take, almost 2 months out of the development process simply by identifying to people when they should be providing their input to the various pieces of artwork.
Wow, that's fascinating.
I'm sure, John, too, you've seen or heard the stories of, the room full of people giving opinions on a design.
Yes.
And then everybody walks out and says, so that was 7 different opinions from 6 different people. Now, what are we supposed to do with that to actually apply? So understanding who gets involved in decision making and at what stage can really lead to some efficiencies in process and effectiveness in decision making. So there's a few that jump out at us.
I've lived through that scenario in some of the magazine redesigns I've been involved with over the years, so I know exactly.
Same thing, I'm sure.
Exactly what that's like. And as you're speaking, I'm thinking we could use more process engineering in our a process we're going through right now to redesign PL Buyer. So maybe we'll take some of these lessons and use them in our own redesign.
It applies to everything in life, John. Regrettably, as I say, it's not sexy, but it's important.
Right, definitely. You mentioned in your article the importance of trend analysis. Explain that a bit. Which trends and to what extent does analysis need to be done?
Well, it's really in the context of new item development and what product should be brought to the marketplace under your private label brand and frankly, how should they be branded within it? We talk on one of the other tiers about strategic brand positioning. Just quickly touching on one of the key questions people ask is, where should organic sit within their program?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So as the trend of organics continues to take to get traction in the minds of the consumer, you say, is it a premium tier item? Should it be on its own, or should it be part of our national brand equivalent? And so not only is it about trend analysis, not only can it affect item development, but also where those items should sit within the overall program.
Mm-hmm.
And really, when you take a look under the hood of the decision-making process of many retailers, we're pretty amazed at the the kind of lack of rigor and discipline on deciding whether an item is going to be brought into the program or not. We really encourage a kind of a scorecard approach where the trends are literally a line item that's identified on that scorecard, so we understand how does this product fit within the continuing evolving trends in the consumer mindset.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where
it sounds like you're taking a lot of principles from other disciplines. I mean, the scorecard approach I've heard being used in financial auditing and a lot of the process steps you talk about sound a bit like the Six Sigma process of analyzing manufacturing. So you're bringing all those best practices into the store brand product development arena.
John, the more that we can get subjectivity out of the decision-making process of, you know, private brand and, in fact, brand development overall for businesses, the more we can eliminate the subjectivity from that, the more accurate we're going to be in the decisions that we make. And now, don't confuse that, please, with removing creativity and innovation and the kind of the leadership that can come from stepping outside of the box, mind the metaphor, but from stepping outside of the box. That is key, but you have to understand the box before you can step out of it, if that makes some sense.
Yes.
So really, you know, it's we learned a great expression from one of our clients, which is freedom within a framework, and that's what this is about. It's taking the subjective variables out of decision making, so that we can be expressive and creative in the way that we do within the proper framework. That's what process engineering to us is all about.
That's a great distinction too, because so many companies tend to, if they do put in rules for things, that tends to stifle creativity. So there needs to be an outlet for creativity, but there also needs to be a process, is what you're saying here.
Oh, absolutely. That's, you know, the most creative, I believe the most creative thinking comes out of understanding the context and having that kind of the parameters of how does it fit within the overall overall arsenal of brands and communications and activities that we have. So it's critical to success.
So I guess that would be the ultimate goal here, would be having that combination of framework and the freedom to be creative within it. Is that what that's what you're striving for with the process?
Absolutely. You know, there's kind of, you know, there's four, I guess, if you said sort of four elements that you get out of process engineering. There's the obvious one of that if you do things more efficiently, you get it done quicker, right? So there's the some efficiencies in labor, you know, in terms of effort that's required to get things done. There's also a speed to market. You know, being the first to market with items, being having conversions done. You know, John, we did a study a while ago about with a client introducing a private label option into categories that you could actually calculate if you can, you know, extrapolate on the sales penetration. Let's say it's going to be 20% of the category, and you don't have an item in that category. You can actually figure out the cost to the business every day that the item is not on the shelf. So if the shoppers are taking the national brand alternative where you've got, say, 12% margins and your private label is at 22%, you can actually do the math on it and figure out every day that I waste, every day that I don't apply proper process engineering costs me X amount of dollars. So there's a cost to not getting to the market quickly in addition to the sort of strategic advantage there.
So how does a retailer developing new products begin the process of creating a process engineering framework? I mean, besides working with your company, which I'm sure would make it a lot easier for them, but what else could they do?
Well, I appreciate the plug, John, but really the first thing that they need to do is to make sure they've mapped out their own process, how they currently do it. You know, when you take a look, and that's not just the thing that sits on the piece of paper that's up on the, you know, up on the wall in someone's office. How does it actually happen? And by looking at the way that you currently do something, you identify the pain points. You know, whenever you take a look at something like this, you want to get some quick wins. That's a term we use a lot around our place. It's, you know, if you want momentum around an initiative, you need to have some quick wins. So when you look at your process engineering, if you actually take a look at it and say, you know, this is actually how we do what we do, where are the pain points, and you can pretty quickly eliminate one or two of those pain points just simply by being aware of the pain that it's causing you, if you know what I mean. Writing out and articulating your existing process, identifying the pain points, getting a quick win by addressing some of those is the best way to get out of the gate in terms of establishing a proper process for your private label development.
All right. So you have to know where you're starting from to see where you want to go, or
that's
how to get to where you want to go, I suppose.
John, that's a metaphor we use in our business all the time. No matter what we're doing, about setting a future course, whether it's for a private brand or a store or an advertising campaign or anything, it's understanding the current state is critical to defining the future state of where you want to go. Then you can start to map yourself out against, competitive best practices or, re-engineering processes that other businesses have done to apply to the process. So as we like to say in our business, if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. And, so really understanding where you are today is critical to the first step in understanding where you want to go.
Great. Well, I'm sure your columns are helping our readers and our listeners here to the podcast understand better where they need to go. So we thank you very much for that. We're out of time for today. So let me thank you again, Patrick, for joining us. And thanks to our listeners. We invite our listeners to hear all of our Appeal Buyer podcasts with Patrick and other industry leaders by visiting our website, privatelabelbuyer.com, where you can listen to and download these podcasts. Thanks again, Patrick, and we'll be speaking with you soon to hear about the next key to private brand success.
Thanks, John.
Bye-bye.